We continue now with Maseches Beitza, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, 13 lines from the bottom of the page. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, Kol She Tashmisha B'Yom, Nola B'Yom, Kol She Tashmisha B'Layla, Nola B'Layla. Any species of animals that mates during the day, Nola B'Yom, will give birth to its offspring during the day, whereas Kol She Tashmisha B'Layla, those species of animals that normally mate at night, Nola B'Layla, they would give birth to the offspring at night. And finally, kol she tashmisha bein bayom bein balayla, any species that has tashmish that mates bein bayom balayla either during the day or at night, nolad bein bayom uvein balayla, will give birth to their offspring either during the day or the night. The Braisa then goes on to give examples of these different types of species. Kol she tashmisha bayom nolad bayom, any type of animal that mates during the day would be nolad b'yom, will give birth to its offspring during the day. Zo tarnagolas. This is a reference to a chicken that mates during the day and gives birth to its offspring during the day. Kol she tashmisha b'layla, nolad b'layla. Zu ataleif. That's a reference to a bat. Bats mate at night and they produce offspring. They give birth to their offspring at night. Kol she tashmisha bein b'yom avein b'layla. Any type of species that mates either during the day or the night. So this refers to Adam, v'chol d'damile. This refers to man, to human beings, and any similar type of species, all types of species that are similar to man. Continues the Gemara, Omar Mar, the Braisa taught, kol she tashmisha b'yom nolad b'yom zol tarnagolas, that any species of animals that mates during the day will give birth to its offspring during the day. This is a reference to a chicken. So says the Gemara, L'may nafkamina, what is the practical significance of this statement? It can't be that the Braisa is merely teaching us regarding the mating habits of animals. There has to be something of halachic significance, of practical relevance over here. So says the Gemara, L'yeh, L'chad Rav Mori B'dir of Kahana. This Braisa comes to support the ruling of Rav Mori B'dir of Kahana. The Omer of Mori B'dir of Kahana, Rav Mori taught the following. Bodak bekina shel tanagol mer yamtif v'lamotza b'beitza ulamachar hishkim amotza b'beitza muteres. What is the case over here? A person checks the chicken's nest on Erev Yomtiv. Says Rashi, he checks it bein hashmasos. He checks it twilight after the sun sets on Erev Yomtiv. And he didn't find any egg. There was nothing there. Ulamachar, and the next day, hishkim, he wakes up so early before the sun rises, umotza b'beitza, and he finds a beitza. So, logically speaking, he would have assumed, and when was the egg laid? It was laid at night. If it was laid on the night of Yom Tov, it's going to be asur on that day. But yet, Rav Mori rules, muteres. It's mutter to eat it that day. How could it be mutter to eat that day? After all, it was laid on Yom Tov. So says the Gemara, no. Based on the Braisa, we see that Tarnagolas does not lay eggs at night. Since Tashmisha b'yom, since it mates during the day, therefore nola b'yom. So it must be that the egg was laid on Erev Yom Tov. It wasn't laid at the night, because chickens don't lay eggs at night, and it wasn't laid on the day of Yom Tov, because again, Hishkim, he got there so early in the morning, the day had not yet started. So says the Gemara of Alo Badak, but how could this be? Because it says over here, Badak Bekina Shatana Golem. He checked before Yom Tov. He saw there were no eggs. So how could it be that it was nolad on Erev Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, Eimar, you have to say, lo badak yafa yafa. He checked, but he didn't check really well. Had he checked better, he would have seen the egg over there, but he didn't check well enough to see it. Va'afilu badak yafa. And even if you tell me he did check really well, Eimar, perhaps we can say, yatsa saruba v'chazer havai. This was a case where on Erev Yom Tov, the majority of the egg emerged from the chicken. It was almost also completely laid. And then it receded back into the body of the chicken, and it did not fully emerge until Yom Tov at night. And a chicken is not going to lay eggs l'chachil at night. But over here, halachically, as Rabbi Yochanan previously taught, Rabbi Yochanan, that when a chicken, and this is unusual, the Gemara said previously, but it can happen, when a chicken goes ahead and lays an egg partially or even completely on Erev Yom Tov, it is considered as if that is a leida. That is complete birth of the egg. That is the egg being completely laid. And if it recedes later, so okay, that's we'll call that sort of a temporary setback of sorts. But it is considered as if the beitza was nolad b'yom. And so in this case, if a person checks the nest thoroughly the day beforehand and he sees that there were no eggs whatsoever, and then the next morning, before the sun rises, he sees that, oh, there's an egg. So he can be sure that the egg really rove of the egg was laid before Yom Tif, it then receded, and it came out during the night. But that there should be a real leidas habeitza, that the beitza should really be laid l'chachil at night, that's something that doesn't happen. So the Kenyan continues the Gemara, is this really so? Aini, is this so? Rabbi Yosef ben Sholom Rav, Rabbi Yosef ben Shol told in the name of Rav, Bodak Bakina Shel Tanagolus Merav Yom Tif, a person, same case, he checks the nest on Erev Yom Tif, and he doesn't find any egg. Ulumachar Hishkim, and the next day on Yom Tif, he gets up really early in the morning, before the sun rises, a Matzah Babetza, and he finds an egg, a Surah. So over here we see Rav teaches exactly the opposite. The very same case. A person checks the nest on Erev Yom Tif, there's no Beitza, he wakes up very early in the morning, he finds an egg Asura. Why is it Asura? Because we assume it was laid on Yom Tif. So this obviously contradicts the previous position of Rav Mori Bidov Kahana, who taught that no, Badak Bikina Shetana Golem Olamatza Babeitza, if you find an egg early in the morning, it is going to be Muteres. So says the Gemara Hossam B'desafnam Yara. The case over here, in the state, the case that's being said over in the name of Rav, that sometimes a chicken will lay an egg at night, that's referring to an unfertilized egg. It says, Rashi v'hiyoledes af balayla. When it comes to these types of eggs, we do find that there are times it lays an egg even at night. However, the rule that was previously stated in the Brisa, that kol she tashmish b'yom nolu b'yom, that was referring to a tarnagoles that is tashmish during the day, and therefore any fertilized eggs that it is going to lay will be laid during the day. But a beitza, but the safna miara, that it was an unfertilized egg, so sometimes a chicken will lay such an egg in. So says the Gemara, if that's so, yachi, durav mori nami, ema miara de safna. If in fact there's a possibility that chicken will sometimes lay eggs at night, albeit an unfertilized egg, so why is it that Rav Mori is so quick to assume that if you check the nest on Erev Yom Tif and you come in the morning and you discover an egg that it's mutter? Why is it mutter? Maybe it's an unfertilized egg which was laid at night, and so therefore it's going to be usher, it's going to be muks on that day, you can't have it. Why is it that Rav Mori assumes that if you find an egg, it must be it's a fertilized egg? So says the Gemara, but the Iko Zachar Bahada. Rav Mori is talking about a case where there was a rooster, there was a male chicken that was together with the hen. And the Gemara presses further, but the Iko Zachar Nami Eimam Arisafna. How do you know just because there was a rooster there that we assume that it must have been a fertilized egg? Maybe there was a rooster, and it was still an unfertilized egg that was laid on the night of Yom Tif, in which case it should be Asur on that day. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Gemiri, we have a tradition, we have a rule, called Heicha de'iko zachar losafna miyara. Whenever a hen is found near a rooster, so the hen will not lay unfertilized eggs. This is just part of the nature of the world. That's an assumption that we make. And so therefore, in this particular case, since there was a zachar together with the hen, since there was a rooster together with the hen, we assume that the only types of eggs that it will lay are fertilized eggs. And since we know for sure that a chicken will not lay a fertilized egg at night, it must be that this egg was really laid the day beforehand, either completely and I didn't notice it, and even if the person was Badak Yafi Yafi, he checked very, very well, and he certainly was no egg. It must be that the egg emerged almost completely before Yom Tif, and then receded, and then was laid at night. And in that case, as we had seen before, in the name of Yochanan, such a basa would be Muteris. Continues the Gemara of Ad Kama, and what is the distance? And as how close must a rooster be to the hen in order for us to come to this conclusion that kol heicha de'ika zachar lo safna miyara, that whenever there was a rooster nearby, so the chicken is not going to lay an unfertilized egg. What is the proximity that the halacha requires between the rooster and the hen in order to come to this conclusion? So Amar Rav Gamda mishmei de Rav, so Rav Gamda told the name of Rav, kol heicha de'shama kolim biyamama, that as long as the distance is such that the hen can hear the sound of the rooster be a mama during the day. Rashi says, Shakol and Nishma biyom kebalayla. You cannot compare the sound of a rooster at night the way it is during the day. So as long as the chicken can hear the sound of the rooster during the day, so that's considered to be within a sufficient proximity that we can go ahead and apply this principle that kol heicha de'ika zachar lo safna miyara. And then the Gemara tells us, Avad Rav Mori Uvda Ad Shitin Bati, that there was a particular incident, just like this case, where a person checks the nest before Yom Tif and discovers an egg on Yom Tif morning. And Rav Mori said that as long as the rooster was within the space of Shitin Bati, 60 houses, that was the case there, it was within 60 houses, and he still ruled Lakula. He still that it was said that it was permissible to have the egg, because since there was a zacher within 60 houses, it must be that the chicken did not lay an unfertilized egg. It must be that it was a fertilized egg. Fertilized eggs are not laid at night, so it must be that it was laid beforehand on Erev Yom Tov. The Gemara now continues and gives us further parameters which can help us determine whether an egg was fertilized or not. V'ika nahara lo avra, that if there was a river between the hen and the rooster, so then we assume that the rooster is not going to cross the river, and so therefore the fact that it may be close in proximity, but there's a river that's separating between the two of them, so in that particular case we can't assume that that they mated, and therefore it could very well be that an egg that was laid from this chicken will be an unfertilized egg. The Ika Mavra Avra, however, says the Gemara, that if there's a bridge which crosses over this river, so then we assume that the rooster will in fact have come and perhaps mated with the hen, and therefore we assume that it must be a fertilized egg. And then the Gemara says, V'ika Mitzra Lo Avra. However, if the only type of bridge that crosses this river is a rope bridge, so then we do not assume that the rooster will cross a rope bridge in order to mate with. Rashi describes over here this mitzvah being a very, very flimsy bridge, which is just held together by two stakes on either side of the river, and it's very narrow, and it's very challenging to cross, and so therefore we don't assume that the rooster is going to go ahead and assume this challenge, and so therefore, again, even though there may be an acceptable proximity between the rooster and the hen, they're separated by the river, and the type of bridge that separates between the two is not the one that we can necessarily assume that the rooster will cross. And so therefore, if the chicken lays an egg, we're going to assume that it is an unfertilized egg. And then the Gemara tells us, Hava uvda v'avra mitzvah. There once was an incident in which a rooster did in fact cross a rope bridge. So previously we'd assumed that if it was a rope bridge, we can't assume that the rooster is going to go ahead and cross the river. And so therefore we have to assume that if there was an egg, it was an unfertilized egg, which can sometimes be nolad even b'layla. But the Gemara says no, because there was an incident in which we find that the rooster that did cross a rope bridge. So in that particular case, if there's a bridge, even if it's a rope bridge, we can assume that the rooster crossed. We assume that they made it, and we assume therefore that the beitza that is nolad would have been a fertilized egg, which would only be nolad b'yom. The Gemara now concludes this discussion by going back to the ruling of Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul. Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul taught that if you check the hen's nest the day beforehand and you discover that there are no eggs, and then you wake up a hashkama early in the morning on the day of Yom Tov and you find an egg, so it is going to be aser. So says the Gemara, b'mayu kimta, how did we establish that case? How did we frame that case? We said, b'desafna miara, we're talking about an egg that was an unfertilized egg. Unfertilized eggs are sometimes laid at night. So says the Gemara, if so, my ir yobadak, kilo badak nami. If so, if we're talking about a case where the hen may have laid an unfertilized egg, so then why do we require the circumstance to be such that it was checked beforehand? Even if you didn't check beforehand, we can still assume that the egg was likely laid at night. So says the Gemara, no, kilo badak imami esmal havai. That if you didn't check the nest beforehand, and you discover bahashgama an egg, even though it was an unfertilized egg, we would still assume that it came from before Yom Tov. Rashi explains the reason why we assume that it was laid during the day is the cave of the Rubi Yamama Yoldan, because since the majority of eggs that are laid during the day, even unfertilized eggs typically are going to be laid during the day, so then Ilo Badak Tolida Biyamama. So then if you didn't check beforehand, we can assume that the egg probably came from the day beforehand, and so therefore the egg would not be usher. It's only going to be usher if you checked and you didn't find one, and then you see it in the morning. So says the Gemara, Yachi, if that's so, so kibadak nami, even if you did check it the day beforehand, emu yatsa ruva v'chazmerhi, why not say we're talking about the case that we mentioned earlier, where the majority of the egg emerged from the chicken the day before, and then v'chazmer, then it recedes, and it only is completely laid, finally laid on Yom Tov itself, luchli Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Yochanan taught, that in that case, it's mutter to eat the egg on Yom Tov. Once we're considering unusual situations, why not assume that's what happened? So says the Gemara, no, the Rabbi Yochanan lo shchiach. That particular scenario was very unusual, and therefore we're not going to assume that that's what happened. As opposed to an unfertilized egg being laid at night, although that's unusual, it's not as unusual, and so therefore we could be told that that's probably what happened, that the egg was laid, it was an unfertilized egg, was laid at night, and so therefore it's going to be usher the following day. The Gemara now concludes with one more statement, completely unrelated, but another statement from Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul. Says the Gemara, "Om Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul am Rav." Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul also taught in the name of Rav, "Hai Tuma Shechika Sakanta Liguluya." That if you have Tuma Shechika means chopped up garlic, so it is going to be a sakana, it is going to be dangerous, Liguluya, to leave it left overnight. Says Rashi, Hanachash, a snake may come and shosim imenu, motzimagul, if the snake discovers that it is uncovered, may come and suck on this garlic, umatu ba'eres, and it may deposit venom, which would then be a danger for somebody else to eat it. And so therefore, Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul teaches that tuma shchika, that crushed garlic, should not be left open because of the concern that a snake may come and deposit its venom.